Welcome to the Folktale Project. This is Dan Shawls. Today we have the penultimate story in the seven-part tale of The Snow Queen by Hans Christian Andersen. But first, I'd like to say thank you to the newest patrons of the Folktale Project, Abigail, Candela Sanchez, Haley White, and Tiara Flusk. Thank you so much for your support. In today's story, we're going to continue with Gerda as she goes on her quest to find Kay. Now, at least, she's headed in the right direction, for she's been pointed towards the Snow Queen. This is The Lap Woman and the Finn Woman. They stopped by a little hut, a very poverty-stricken one. The roof sloped down right to the ground, and the door was so low that the people had to creep in on hands and knees when they wanted to go in or out. There was nobody at home here but an old Lap woman, who was frying fish over a train oil lamp. The reindeer told her all Gerda's story, but it told its own first, for it thought it was much the most important. Gerda was so overcome by the cold that she could not speak at all.
"Oh, you poor creatures," said the Lap woman. "You've got a long way to go yet. You'll have to go hundreds of miles into Finnmark, for the Snow Queen is paying a country visit there, and she burns blue lights every night. I will write a few words on a dried stockfish, for I have no paper. I will give it to you to take to the Finn woman up there. She will be better able to direct you than I can."
So when Gerda was warmed and had eaten and drunk something, the Lap woman wrote a few words on a dried stockfish and gave it to her, bidding her take good care of it. Then she tied her on to the reindeer again, and off they flew. Flicker, flicker went the beautiful blue northern lights up in the sky all night long. At last, they came to Finnmark, and knocked on the Finn woman's chimney, for she had no door at all. There was such a heat inside that the Finn woman went about almost naked. She was little and very grubby. She at once loosened Gerda's things and took off the mittens and the boots, for she would have been too hot. Then she put a piece of ice on the reindeer's head, and after that she read what was written on the stockfish. She read it 3 times, and then she knew it by heart, and put the fish into the pot for dinner. There was no reason why it should not be eaten, and she never wasted anything. Again, the reindeer told his own story first, and then little Gerda's. The Finn woman blinked with her wise eyes, but she said nothing.
"You are so clever," said the reindeer. "I know you can bind all the winds of the world with a bit of sewing cotton. When the skipper unties one knot, he gets a good wind. When he unties 2, it blows hard, and if he undoes the 3rd and the 4th, he brings a storm about his head wild enough to blow down the forest trees. Won't you give the little girl a drink, so that she may have the strength of 12 men to overcome the Snow Queen?"
"The strength of 12 men, said the Finn woman. "Yes, that will be about enough."
She went along to a shelf and took down a big folded skin, which she unrolled. There were curious characters written on it, and the Finn woman read till the perspiration poured down her forehead. But the reindeer again implored her to give Gerda anything, and Gerda looked at her with such beseeching eyes, full of tears, that the Finn woman began blinking again, and drew the reindeer along into a corner, where she whispered to it, at the same time putting fresh ice on its head.
"Little Kay is certainly with the Snow Queen, and he is delighted with everything there. He thinks it is the best place in the world, but that's because he's got a splinter of glass in his heart and a grain of glass in his eye. They'll have to come out first, or he will never be human again, and the Snow Queen will keep him in her power. But can't you give little Gerda something to take which will give her power to conquer it all?"
"I can't give her greater power than she already has. Don't you see how great it is? Don't you see how both man and beast have to serve her? How she has got on as well as she has on her bare feet? We must not tell her what power she has. It is in her heart, because she is such a sweet, innocent child. If she can't reach the Snow Queen herself, then we can't help her. The Snow Queen's gardens begin just 2 miles from here. You can carry the little girl as far as that. Put her down by the big bush standing there in the snow covered with red berries. Don't stand gossiping, but hurry back to me."
Then the Finn woman lifted Gerda on the reindeer's back, and it rushed off as hard as it could.
"Oh, I've not got my boots, and I've not got my mittens," cried little Gerda.
Soon she felt the want of them in that cutting wind, but the reindeer did not dare to stop. It ran on till it came to the bush with the red berries. There, it put Gerda down and kissed her on the mouth while big shining tears trickled down its face. But then it ran back again as fast as it ever could. There stood poor little Gerda, without shoes or gloves, in the middle of freezing ice-bound Finnmark. She ran forward as quickly as she could. A whole regiment of snowflakes came towards her. They did not fall from the sky, for it was quite clear with the northern lights shining brightly. No, these snowflakes ran along the ground, and the nearer they came, the bigger they grew. Gerda remembered how big and ingenious they looked under the magnifying glass, but these, the size of these was monstrous. They were alive, and they were the Snow Queen's advanced guard. They took the most curious shapes. Some looked like big, horrid porcupines, some like bundles of knotted snakes with their heads sticking out, others, again, were like fat little bears with bristling hair, but all were dazzling white and living snowflakes. Then little Gerda said the Lord's Prayer, and the cold was so great that her breath froze as it came out of her mouth and she could see it like a cloud of smoke in front of her. It grew thicker and thicker till it formed itself into bright little angels, who grew bigger and bigger when they touched the ground. They all wore helmets and carried shields and spears in their hands. More and more of them appeared, and when Gerda had finished her prayer, she was surrounded by a whole legion. They pierced the snowflakes with their spears and shivered them into 100 pieces, and little Gerda walked fearlessly and undauntedly through them. The angels touched her hands and her feet, and she hardly felt how cold it was, but walked quickly on towards the palace of the Snow Queen. Now, we must see what Kay was about. He was not thinking about Gerda at all, least of all, that she was just outside the palace. And that is the sixth story in the tale of the Snow Queen, the Lap Woman, and the Finn Woman. And by the end of it, Gerda has finally found where Kay is, and she is on her way, protected by her good, clean heart. This is Dan Scholes for the Folktale Project. Don't forget that you can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, Overcast, anywhere you like to get your podcasts. You can follow us on Twitter at Folktale Project. You can find us on Auto Radio, TuneIn Radio, Spotify, anywhere you like to listen. If you'd like to help support the podcast, you can head over to patreon.com/folktaleproject. And you can always head over to folktaleproject.com, where you'll find a new story waiting for you every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Next Monday, we'll be back with the final story in Hans Christian Andersen's The Snow Queen, what happened in the Snow Queen's palace and afterwards. And then we'll finish up with two more Hans Christian Andersen tales, shorter ones, for Wednesday and Friday. As always, thank you so much for listening.